Welcome to The Hitch, the podcast about navigating life's challenges on the road. Hi.
Hi. We're back again.
We're here. But, well, we're not in Evangeline.
No, we're just in our basement.
We're in our basement, but we are recording, which is fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We're back.
Yeah. And as we said on last week's episode, when we are not on the road, we're going to start answering your questions about getting on the road.
And it's so fun because guess what?
We got some. Yeah.
I'm so happy.
and so we have a couple that we want to answer today about kind of being on the road with kids.
Mm-hmm. They're very good questions.
Yeah. The first one is from Todd from Austin, who writes, "Hey, Dan and Janice. I'm actually the guy who ran into you with my family at Big Thunder Mountain at Disney World.
I love this.
To say thanks for Says Who podcast. I'm really enjoying The Hitch too, and I'm glad you're back. I feel like we need to pause right here.
We need to pause. We're going to have a story within a story here.
Yeah. So not a road trip. We flew. But yeah. This past spring, we went to Disney World to celebrate the end of your cancer treatments.
Yep. Big blowout at Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were at the Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
And in an early morning line to get onto Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yep.
Which is...
It's a really fun roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. One of your faves.
I love it.
Yeah.
We go on it all the time when we're there.
And behind us in line, the guy goes, "Are you Dan Sinker?"
It was so weird because like we were so far away from home and just in the fantasy of Disney, you know, where you're just like
and also because there are like 20,000 people there a day, so that, and I'm like, yeah, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I listen to Says Who podcast," which is the other podcast I do, he's like, "Hey, just thanks for doing that."
I know.
That's awesome.
He was so nice, and he was there with his family, so we just chatted for a few minutes, and then we had to get in line because it was time. The train was leaving. We had to get on that roller coaster. Exactly. It is a train.
So anyway, Todd, our friend asks, "Here's my question. We've taken a good number of short 4-hour around the longest airplane trips with our 5-year-old, but never a long road trip. On the plane, we have a number of activities that we do as a group, and some he does alone, playing cars, Hot Wheels, etc. But I'm intimidated by keeping him entertained during a long road trip. If he could just read, I think we'd be totally cool, but alas, we're not quite there yet. Do you have any advice for taking small kids on long road trips?"
This is a great question.
This is like our life for the last 13 years.
Yes, and we do.
Yeah.
Let me just start off by saying, Todd, you already got this.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you already have activities and you already do 4 or 5 hour plane trips, like flying, I feel like is much more of a challenge, with kids. And so I think you got this. You can totally do this. That said, let's talk about some advice. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the best thing about driving is you can stop whenever.
That
is the best thing.
On an airplane. Someone's just losing their fucking mind on an airplane.
You're
you don't
just
have
screwed.
A choice.
Yeah. You're just like, sorry to everybody else. It's the best. You know, you can pull over. And everyone says this, but it is so true with kids. Like, do stop every couple hours. You know, let them run around. Well, I'm jumping into like a million things already.
I mean, stopping, right?
Stopping.
Like that's like the A1 thing.
It is the
You've
A1
got
thing.
Rest I mean, stops in almost every state has rest stops at least every 90 to 150 miles.
Some states are definitely
so.
Better than others.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they're great.
Bare minimum, they have grass.
Safe places usually. And many of them now have playgrounds.
Yep.
Which we found to be so helpful. And just even if they don't have playgrounds, just being able to get out.
Yeah, just throw a ball
around.
Into your car.
Yeah, bring a ball.
Give your kid a ball to kick around or something.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
We have our dog, so we're always, like, with the kids and the dog, we always need to stop every few hours. And I think that's a good thing to do anyway for the driver and for the passenger as well. Because, you need to stretch and it helps you not get sore. It helps you wake up a little bit in a different way. It's so good. And yeah, rest stops are great. We're all about the rest stops.
But also, I mean, there are those like McDonald's play places.
That's
and
true.
Like, you know, there's stuff to do that isn't, you know, like it's hard if you're doing it in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, but to get out and walk around in rest stops. But we found like on a few of the routes that we do a lot, like there are antique malls.
Right.
That we'll
I was going to say,
walk around
we
in,
used
and,
to driving. We've driven between Chicago and Colorado so many times.
So
like
many times.
Infinity times.
Basically.
Like I feel basically infinity. And there's a place in Des Moines, like an antique mall, big one that we would regularly stop in when our oldest son was like 3-4 years old, even two. Because at that age, the 2-3, you know, it's harder. They want to move around and they don't totally understand why they can't. And then the screaming happens.
Right.
Stopping frequently doesn't mean you are going to add a tremendous amount of time on. That said, another thing we do that has helped us, helped our mental states when we travel, is we calculate the number of hours we're going to drive, and then we add an hour, sometimes 2 hours.
Sometimes two if it's a long
If it's a long day. And then just mentally, you're if, you know, if it's a 7-8 hour drive and you just automatically think of it as a 9 hour, 9 or 10 hour drive, then you're just not bummed.
Right.
Like, it sucks when you get anywhere later than you think you're going to. It's just hard to deal with, and you don't want to be like, come on, you know, at the rest stop or whatever. Like I can definitely be
well, and it also
don't
it
just, be like me
it if you know you're in for a 10-hour drive and you have figured that out, that it's, you know, it's really an 8-hour drive,
right,
but you're
it's
adding a couple hours on like when it takes 10 hours, you aren't like, oh my God, that was the worst.
Right.
You know, because you didn't accidentally take 2 hours longer. And often it'll be a little shorter. You know, I think the other thing to, especially long drives, you know, if you're really talking about 9-10 hours, get going as early as is humanly possible.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, 5 o'clock.
5-6 a.m. just so that you get a big chunk of that drive done before you've really woken up.
Yeah.
And certainly that you've gotten a big chunk of the drive done and the day's still pretty early. Just mentally, that helps a bunch. Also, if you're like still packing the car and stuff before you get going, you're already kind of worn out before you can go pack the night before.
Packing the night before. There's always stuff you got to pack in the morning, like food and things like that. But pack everything, every single thing you can the night before. So your morning is just like muffins and out the door. It's also better for the kids. Either they're young enough to wake up crazy early, like young children do, or they're like zombie teenager and you just kind of shuffle them into the car in their jammies and everything. And then like they either go back to sleep or they're just like in low power mode for like 3 hours. And then everyone's kind of naturally waking up, you know, and getting into the groove, and you're already like 4 hours
in. You're already, 3-4 hours in. And that's just a huge mental boost.
It's
and especially
huge.
Like, even if you do a long ass drive day and you're, you know, if it's a 10 hour drive day and you leave at 6 in the morning, you're getting to your hotel at like 4 in the afternoon, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because then you have time to decompress, and your kid has time to totally get their, you know,
yayas
out. And if you've got a pool, you can hit the pool.
Yeah.
You know, you can even come in, decompress, and go out and find food if you want or something like that. Like, I definitely have found that the trips that we leave early and we get to a hotel on the early side,
like 3 or 4 or a campsite,
are so much more bearable than the ones where we get a late start, we get in, it's already dark.
Oh,
and especially a road trip where you got to turn around and do another 9 hours the next day.
Right.
It's brutal.
If you have multiple drive days, it's very important, if at all possible, to leave as early as you can and get in as early as you
especially
can, so you have a break. I think it's so important for your body physically, for your brain mentally, but also for the kids. Like, if you get in around 3-4, and depending on if you're staying in a hotel, if it has a pool, like Dan mentioned, you know, go swimming, like be physically active, walk around, let them run around, explore the hotel, explore the town.
Yep. thinking about your question, you talk about how you have like activities and Hot Wheels cars and stuff like that on the plane. Like,
it's perfect.
The road trip is that times a million, right? Because you're not confined to your carry-on bag,
right?
You know, we always had this really nice, we actually don't have one right now and it kind of sucks, but we used to have this really nice little like
sort of a cloth box.
Yeah,
And there's probably a better name for them.
Things like that,
car caddy or something.
Yeah.
I think I've heard
it was made for cars.
Yeah,
but
it was
a pretty large box, and we would just have that next to the kid when he was little, and we had it full of books and
coloring
markers
books.
And coloring books.
And you don't have to bring like everything in the world. Like when we're bringing, you got to keep it somewhat reasonable because stuff just
we
gets
never
everywhere.
Really kept it reasonable.
No,
though.
But I mean, like, you know, pick five markers to bring in a plastic bag or something.
Yeah, we
don't
that
bring
the hard way.
Don't bring the whole thing or like, you know, I mean,
Think about the activities in terms of the fact that they're in a car. Like, don't do stickers unless you're okay with stickers in your car window.
we've learned that one too.
Stuff like that.
Also, things that they can do on their own unless you're gonna be back there with them,
and this is something
we did with our older son when he was real little. One of us would sit in the back with him for not
well and
not
I mean
all the
I mean
time.
To contextualize that, we were driving from Chicago to California. It was like 4 or 5 days of driving, and so that's asking a lot
of a two-year-old
he was at the time, and you know, he couldn't read on his own. Like, he would kind of look at a book and then throw it on the ground, and then grab the next
he
book
would
and throw
it on
our
dog's
and our
head.
Dog was on the ground underneath him. So yeah, that was sort of sad for her, and it just was easier for one of us, whoever wasn't driving, to be sitting next to him, to be reading to him and stuff like that.
So
I think that was also the trip where we came up with the screens after lunch rule.
Yeah, which has been a good rule for our family. It's worked out pretty well, although we broke it quite a bit this summer, but sometimes you have to. But that's where we would do activities until lunchtime.
Books
and then if you have a tablet or something, you know, that the kid uses, a phone or whatever, screens after lunch, and that limits it, so it's not, you know,
they're not on for 9 hours.
Because we definitely found, you know, 2-3 hours, if it gets beyond that, the kid is a lot crabbier. When you stop, it's like their brain has been
they
damaged.
They can't get off.
it's not good. And it kind of forces them to do other things, and it dangles that carrot, of course. He would ask, like, is it lunchtime? At like 8 a.m.
you'd have just finished having like breakfast in the car, and he's like, is it lunchtime yet?
And it's sometimes we ate lunch at like 10 because we're like, I can't take it anymore. But that was a good thing.
I think a big part is that the kids follow your lead, you know?
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
If you think it's going to be hard, if you think it's going to be a battle, if you're like, I know, kids, this is going to be a long drive, but it'll be good when we get there. It's like, that's how they're coming into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, I think part of the reason that all of us love road trips is because we've always treated the trip as the part of the journey. You know, the drive is
part of the fun
of it, you know? Yeah. And it really is.
Yeah.
And especially if they pick up on that, and, you know. And
I really do think kids rise to the occasion if you have the right attitude. And of course, it doesn't always go great. But like, if the expectations are there, like Dan was saying, you know, just we're going to have this great time. We're going to be in the kids like to know also, like, how long is this going to be? That kind of thing. We're going to get there, you know, at 4 or something. And then we're going to go to the pool, you know.
Yeah.
And as long as they know, they're pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
And as long as you just don't panic, you know, I mean, you have days where you spend all day with your kid at home. It's the same thing, but you're just driving across the country.
Exactly. You're going somewhere awesome.
You're going somewhere awesome. Yeah. So really that. Oh, another thing that's been really good. And I mentioned this because Todd mentioned that his kid is not reading yet. I remember that time well. And you know what? You're absolutely right. It does get easier when they can read on their own. Oh my gosh, it's the best thing in the world. You're like, yes, they're reading. Books on tape are great. Like, you can get some great kids' books on tape that everyone can listen to and kind of talk about and be engaged in. They're hours and hours long, so it eats up a lot of time. We've listened to like every Harry Potter, every Rick Riordan, you know, every, like, so many books we've listened on tape. And so that's actually been a really good road trip tip for, indeed, that's worked for us.
We have another question about traveling with kids, this time in the trailer. Kate from St. Paul asks, with a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old, how did you maintain times for your older one to have his own space? And how did you maintain your own space?
Should we just laugh for 5 minutes?
We were talking about this question in the car, and I was all, well, it's kind of like in our house. We live in a pretty small house. Like, privacy is something of a polite fiction.
Yeah.
Even more so when you're in a 27-foot trailer that has no real doors.
Yeah.
You know?
There's, like, curtains.
Curtains. The bathroom has a door. That's true. But it's, you know, the idea that you really have separate space is just not something that's possible, you know? Unless somebody leaves.
Yeah.
You know? Going out on a walk, you know, with a dog, that's helpful, too. Is certainly a nice way around it. You know, and that, you know, our 13-year-old will go on walks most nights.
Yeah.
You know, unless the mosquitoes were really bad.
And just even little walks or, you know, because obviously when you're traveling, you don't really know the area. So you don't want to send your kids off, like, just go walking around.
You know, I wouldn't send
little
short
walks. I
think probably this would be the first year that I would be comfortable sending the 13-year-old out.
And we would just be like, you know, just around the campsite or whatever. But yeah, walks and also just sitting outside, you know, either him on his own or us. Like at night, Dan and I would sit outside and just chat and just have a moment. And another thing that we did, and it's interesting because it was increasingly happening as time went on, is that we live in this day and age where, you know, people have their own devices, their own earbuds, headphones, whatever. So, like, you can check out. You can be, like, right next to somebody and in your own world.
Yeah.
And as at the very end of our trip, like, all, like, the three of us, who were not the little guy, we, the three older ones, we would just, like, watch our own shows. We all had our own shows, and we would just kind of check out. So even though we were physically right next to each other, we had a little bit of a mental break from each other.
Yeah.
And we weren't, you know, watching them together, which...
Right.
You know,
it was just a moment... You know, it was an hour or two where you could just kind of be in your own little zone.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, it was interesting because I hadn't thought about that as sort of like privacy or something like that, but it totally was.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It was just like, oh, this is awesome. It's just me and the screen for a little while. And, you know, I think that that's really.
I think the reality is when you can't physically separate yourself from someone else, you find other ways to mentally do it, which is what we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed to work out. I was actually surprised that he didn't. I knew we would be okay with it, but I was like, how is a 13-year-old going to feel on the road with us for this long? But he was fine.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to allow people to have a little bit of space. We did whenever we were in a place where we had friends or family, he would often spend the night at their house just to, like, get out, have a break, be in, like, a real, you know, like a house. And we do a lot of, like, kind of normal things when we travel, like go to movies and things like that he would do at home. So that's another really important thing, especially when you're talking about teenagers and older kids, like, is to, like, we didn't want him to miss out on, like, the new movies that were coming out or new video games that were being released. So we would find ways to be in a place with internet to download, like, the game that he would want. Or, like
the weekly Fortnite updates.
Yeah.
We would make sure
he could
get them.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. Because that's important. And you don't want them to feel like they're completely cut off from the from the world and from their peers. And when we were staying up in Vail in Colorado, you took him to a movie
down the mountain to see not really down the mountain, over.
Yeah.
Across a mountain to go see the new Ant-Man movie. And
you know, just kind of making sure that he can have, you know, that yeah. he's not completely disconnected.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that he did the most when we were watching shows, he had a Marvel Unlimited app.
Oh, yeah.
And he read, like, hundreds of comic books.
I know, you know, so many.
Like, we were watching Netflix, and he was reading comic books and listening to, like, podcasts or music or whatever. Yeah. And it was like he got to have his own little world inside, you know, for that that time. And I think that worked well.
That, you know, technology actually saved us in that way.
Definitely.
Even when we didn't have internet, which we did not for most of the time.
That's something we should talk about on another episode.
That's another episode.
Dealing with no internet.
Yeah. And how to handle all of that. But anyway,
so somebody ask that question so we can answer it.
Can you? Yeah. Somebody ask us that, please.
But yeah, I think that's it. Two questions down.
Okay.
Hit us up with more.
Please do, because it's super fun and I love hearing from people.
We will tell you how right now.
We'll be back next week with more road-tested advice for your own adventures. Let us answer your questions by emailing evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com or by DM on Instagram @tincanevangeline. Please subscribe to The Hitch on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and leave us a review while you're there. I'm Dan Sinker.
And I'm Janice Dillard.
And we'll see you on the road.